Greetings from the Warriors Tape Ministry. We are delighted to have an opportunity to further enrich your life today. For more information on who we are and what we're all about, you can find us at warriors.cc. You be blessed. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. I'm in Judges 4, verse 2. Who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera. The name of Jabin means intelligent. So right now, I would like to remind you that contrary to what Pentecostal preachers tell you, the devil is not stupid. He's not dumb, toothless, slewfoot, idiot, help me. All this insanity that I hear preached, that the devil is dumb, that is insanity. That is insanity. The devil knows the Bible better than you do. He's very, I'm going to say this like this. He is an excellent devil. Excellent. He does his job very, very good. Now, having said that, to get this, you must understand that Jabin, God picked Jabin to rain down on Israel because Israel had gotten out of the will of God. It says when Ehud had died, first verse, when he died, it says again and again the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And again. So, and again they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, taking that into consideration, God had to raise up somebody to get their attention. Unfortunately, the only thing that gets our attention is trouble. Everything's going smooth. We kind of click it on automatic pilot and we think everything's fine. We think it's okay for us to not get involved, not plug in. We think it's okay for us to expect others to do it for us because it's going to be okay. So we want to disassociate ourselves from fellowship. We want to disassociate ourselves from being around the brothers. I tell you where the strength is. When I saw the troops marching back and forth this morning, when I saw that going on this morning, I thought, well, the power is in the house. The power is in the house. If someone, you know, we're surrounded with crazy people. There's no doubt about that. But there's two kind of crazy people, though. There's just good crazy and there's bad crazy. There's people that's there. But there's people, Michael, that's just crazy. They're just crazy. They try over and over to pull you back into a realm of craziness. Now, a problem is, if you're around just crazy people, you become thinking that being crazy is normal. But you understand that's not normal. It's abnormal. Do you remember in Young Frankenstein? Remember when he collected the brain and when Frankenstein came back to life and he started roaring and breaking things and Gene Wilder said to Martin Short, I think, yeah, that's him. He said, where did you get this brain? Because he sent him to the brain lab to get a brain of a professor. And he said, well, did you get the professor's brain? He says, well, he had a hump right here. He says, well, I tried to pick it up, but I dropped it. You dropped the brain of the professor? Yes, I broke it. I did. I didn't pick it up. I swept it away. You swept it away? Well, what kind of brain did you get? I got another one. What sort of brain did you get? Another one. It was Abby's brain. Abby. Abby who? Normal. We put an abnormal brain in a 40-foot monster. Do you understand that? Are you listening to me? Some of you must understand that contrary to God, that's abnormal. Serving God is normal because before the foundations of the earth, everything was in one accord with God. When the garden was created, when man was put in the garden, everything was in harmony. Nothing deteriorated. Nothing grew old. God hung a water belt to keep the sun's rays from coming in and aging things too fast. It was set up for us to live forever. Our destiny was not getting old, getting sick, dying, fighting, warring with one another, killing with one another, getting divorced, having repossessions and foreclosures, hating this nation because they're black or yellow or pink, hating this guy because he stands up and shouts, hating this guy because he knows what you did. It wasn't designed for that. We weren't designed for this. Do you hear me? We weren't designed for it. We were designed to live a life of godliness and holiness unto the Lord. Now, having said that, let me say this. Sisera's name was Battle Array. His name means in all the battle array. And this is important that you get that. Because God does not want you surrounded by crazy people. He wants you surrounded by people who love God. Do you understand that? That doesn't mean you isolate yourself and not be around people that don't love God. But if you're around that all the time, you start thinking like that. You start thinking in defeat. You start thinking it. You must understand. You've got to get this through. What you hang with is what you become. Are you listening to me? When you start hanging with people that's talking the Holy Ghost, that pray, that seek God, all of a sudden things start happening. We came up, we fired up the air conditioners. Well, the 5-ton didn't work. So I met the air conditioner guy down here. He says, well, I don't know, but someone changed the wires on it. I said, brother, no one changed the wires. No one touches this. He said, well, this was how it was. It don't work. I move it over here. So you're saying the wire was mysteriously changed. He said, I'm saying that the wire changed over here works the fan. But the fan, now that the fan works, so I'm going, oh, I guess somebody just slipped up, took the thing off, and slipped the wire over. He said, well, I like this. It didn't just jump over there. And it reminded me of Mamaw. Well, I know those keys just didn't get up and walk out of here. I start thinking about, well, what must have gone on? But more important, I had a problem. Our compressor was down. So I said to him, now what do I need to do? He says, well, it's going to cost you $1,000. I said, well, wait, there must be some, wait, can we talk about this? Well, I've got one at home. I've got one at home that I redid, and I'll say that. He said, there is something that we can do, but it never works. It's called a jumper. I can try to jump start the compressor. I said, well, then please do it. He says, you don't understand. It never works. I said, no, you don't understand. It will work. Oh, shake it, baby. Now, this is the same guy that set the wires that didn't know I was a pastor. He didn't know that. Because I was up here with him every minute of the day, handing him wrenches, handing him wires, because somebody had to get it done. It needed to be done. So I was up here making sure you had air conditioning. Come on, somebody. Do you understand that? Because I give a rip. You understand? I care. I want you to know that. Friday night, understand that? There are people that care about you, people that go before you. See, Jesus went before you. Alan. Are you listening to me? Now, I don't know how you can be bored with this. I don't know how you could even be anything but uncomfortable because you've been hanging around the wrong kind of crazy people. Are you listening to me? So he says to me, okay, I'll try it. He tried it up and he said, I hear you praying over there. I says, yes, that's right. Oh, shaka babra. He says, I guess that's praying. And he jumps it and it starts right up and he said, well, I'll be damned. I says, no, you don't want to damn it. You don't want to damn what God just blessed. When you say, I'll be damned, you're damning something God wants to bless. So when you say you curse God, when you're saying, God damn something, you're asking God to curse something. That's what you're doing. You're asking God to curse it. So I said, brother, you're trying to curse this very same thing that God wants to bless. Do you understand that with your life? Come on, somebody. With your life, when you start complaining about things not going your way, when you start lining up with what the crazy people say, when you start speaking and confessing what's being confessed over you by those who don't know the Word of God, what you're doing is cursing that God wants to bless. So when it fired up, he says, man, I'm going to take you to Vegas. I said, well, I don't think it'll work like that in Vegas. I said that to say, this to expect the unexpected, because when Caesarea comes and all his battle array, when the enemy comes to you and all his battle array, you must be ready to deal with them. If the bad guy comes in your house, or let me put it like this, Michael, if you go to your house tonight and there is a guy sitting in your easy chair playing your Xbox, watching your television, eating your sandwiches, or drinking your water, there we go, and you say, what are you doing in my house? He says, it's my house now. It's too late to go to the gym to work out. It's too late to go in the garage and start picking up weights. Do you understand that? You've got to be equipped then. When you walk in and see the strong man sitting in your house, in your stuff, you've got to be equipped then. Are you listening to me? Now, in other words, you can go say, no. This is my house. I've got the title deed. Go in and pull the deed out. He's got to leave because it's legally yours. Do you understand that? When the enemy comes to occupy what belongs to God, you can do the same thing. I've got the title deed. I hold my title deed up. You are a trespasser, sucker. You are a trespasser. Do you understand that? Now, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, 900 tanks. You listening? Iron, judgment. Had 900 chariots of judgment. And for 20 years, say 2 decades, he harshly oppressed the children of Israel. But there was a young woman named Deborah. And Deborah, King James calls her a prophetess. But the New LT, the New Living Translation, calls her a prophet. I like this. I like that very much because, you see, when you say prophetess, it's like prophet light. You understand that? Oh, it's a prophetess. She's not really a fool. She's a test. I want you to understand that a woman that functions in that, and this gift is just as big a prophet as a man is. Are you listening to me? And so the woman of God, the man of God, remember, how many times have I said, if I can be a bride of Christ, then she can be a man of God. All right? Are we in agreement? Now, here we go. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots, and 20 years he had harshly oppressed him. But Deborah the prophetess, the wife of Labidoth, was judging Israel at the time, and she would sit under a palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel. Ramah means illicit worship. Bethel means house of God. She would sit between the place of illicit worship and the place of the house of God, which is the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came to her for judgment, and she would judge the children of Israel. Now, this is very important because God has the prophetic gift, the prophetic move of God that's holding back, standing the gap between the worship of spirit and truth and the worship that is not spirit and truth. Do you understand that? There are two kinds of worship. There's worship that comes from an act, and there's worship that comes from the spirit, the heart. Are you with me? Now, worship from the heart or the spirit is true worship. Those who worship me in spirit and truth don't worship me on this mountain. Actually, it was in John 4. That Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and he said to her that your fathers worshipped at this mountain, which was Mount Gerizim. Now let me explain, there was two mountains at the time, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. On Mount Gerizim, the children of Israel would stand, and they would shout the blessings of God. Over across the valley was Mount Ebal, and they would pronounce the curses. Blessed are you in the city, blessed are you in the mountain. And if you do these, if you worship God, meditate, and cursed are you from Mount Ebal if you do not. And Jesus said, because they were still worshiping the way from the mountain of blessing, and even though Zion is now the new mountain, are you with me? They were still worshiping by the letter of the law. That's called illicit, illegal worship. But there is a worship that comes from the house of God. And as I speak to you right now, God is raising up the prophetic music all over this planet. Do you hear me? He's raising up prophetic music that stands the gap between legalistic, illicit music, illicit worship, and worship that comes from the spirit and heart. And deploy troops at Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. And against you, I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon. And I will deliver him into your hand. And they reported to Sisera and Barak, the son of Abinadi, had gone up to Mount Tabor. Are you with me? Now, once they got to Mount Tabor, what's happening is here is Sisera gathered together all of his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him, from Hedesh to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, up for this day of which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariot and the army as far as Hagiom. And the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not one man was left. We get to the next verse. However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael. Say Jael. Now, Jael's name means to prosper, to acquire, to grow fully, to gain, to avail much. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord. Turn aside to me. Do not fear. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Blanket, that's the word is mantle. It's also to lean upon the mantle in time of war. And that's important. To lean upon your mantle in a time of war. Let me say it again. To lean upon your anointing in the time of war. A mantle is your calling, your gifting. A mantle is who you're called to be, what you're called to be. The mantle means wide, large, and powerful. When Elijah cast his mantle upon Elisha, that word there means wide, large, and powerful. The mantle is always bigger than the man is. Are you listening? The bigger the spirit of man is, the better the fit. The more humble the man is and meager in the sight of God, the more the mantle covers. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes in and inquires of you and says, is there any man here? You shall say no. Then Jael, Hebner's wife, took a tent peg, say tent peg, and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple. And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Sisera, which represents the enemy in all his battle array. I've had to lay down all this scripture for you because it's very important now. In all of his battle array, he comes to the tent of Jael and says, let me in. I won't say anything. Cover me up with a blanket. I'll be quiet. The enemy wanted to come into her tent. The enemy in his full battle array came into the tent and wanted her to cover him with a blanket and not tell anyone she was there. And that's what's happened with the body of a lot. Well, I don't want to bash the body because that's not true. That's what is attacking us as we speak, is this complacency towards the enemy coming to the tent. The tent represents your flesh, your house, the house where God dwells. God didn't live in the box. He lives in you and I now. Are you listening to me? So when Sisera and the full battle array came and says, let me hide here. Just let me hide here. And don't tell them. Another scripture says, I'm just going to quote it to you now. Another scripture says, don't tell them I'm here. If any man asks for me, don't tell them I'm here. Don't tell them I've got a little pornography going. Don't tell them I've got a little lust going. Don't tell them I've got a little badgering going. Don't tell them, you see. Be real quiet about it. Don't tell them I'm in here. It'll be okay. But what she did, he said, bring me some water. In other words, pet me. Make me feel comfortable. That's okay. It won't hurt. It's all right. Just let me stay here. I'm going to be quiet. When the enemy comes in, he will be dormant for a while. Listen to me. But the day will come when he will stand up in his full battle array. And then because you didn't take the stand when you should have taken the stand, you're taken over. Someone say amen. Yeah. You got to listen to me when I'm telling you this. Are you saying, what I'm saying is simply this. Sisera came in and sat at the tent of Jael and laid down and said, cover me. Don't do anything about it. But what she did, well, she took a tent peg. She took, that word tent peg is nail. She took a nail and she nailed his head through the temple into the ground. She nailed his head into the, in the fifth verse when they're singing about it, it says she took her head off. She took his head off. You understand? She drove a tent stake in it, the same type. Tent stake, the same type of nail that crucified Christ to the cross. The wood of the cross represents humanity. Sisera, which means to avail much. You want to avail much? You got to take the enemy in his full battle array and drive a tent stake down through his temple, into his head. There is no headship but the headship of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. And it's got to be that way. And it went into the ground, into the dirt, nailing down that Adamic nature. Nailing Adam's nature down. Don't you love that? Fasten your head to the enemy, to the dust of the ground. And this full battle array, he is no match for this unheard of woman. Who is she? Jael, whoever heard of her? We'd only hear about her. And when we get to Judges 4, the church wants to tell you, people, I don't want to say the church, people want to tell you we're too radical. Well, just leave the devil alone. He will not go away. You don't leave him alone. You knock him out. You don't. Listen to me. Now I'm going from experience here. Oh, wait. Fasten his head to the ground, to the dust of the ground. In his full battle array, he is no match for this unheard of woman of Israel who refused to keep him hidden. God is looking for a people that refuse to keep the enemy hidden. They want to expose him. You understand that? Confess your faults one to another. That means, brother, I've been getting hit with this right here. Pray with me right now. Oh, yeah, brother. Come on, let's pray right now. Pray right now in Jesus' name. I'm hitting with insecurity. I'm getting hit with failure. Pray for me right now in Jesus' name. You see that? Say, brother, you know, God, I'm telling you, I was just asleep and I had a dream about drugs. I need you to pray for me. Jesus' name, would you pray for me? You see, that's what, when you stand up and cut that sucker dog off, right at the heel, right, nail his head right into the dust. Do you understand that? Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, it says this, Jeremiah 4 says, is not my word, because she took a hammer. That word hammer means to pierce. She took a hammer and she took a nail, just like Christ was crucified to the cross. She crucified, oh, come on, somebody. Don't you see the picture? She crucified the head of the enemy in his full battle array to the ground, praise God. While he was asleep, dormant, not saying anything. Someone say, I've been having all these. They're not your thoughts. Quit beating yourself up. Call it for what it is. Cast down those vain imaginations. Bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Are you with me? Now, Jeremiah 4 says, is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like a hammer? Breaking to pieces the rocks? Woo-hoo-hoo! I told you, Judges 5 said that the hammer of Jael drove the peg into the enemy in his full battle array and split his head open, Ronnie. Split his head open. You see, in the name of the Lord, you can take on the enemy in his full battle array. Now, I must say this to you. You stay in the calling in which you were called. That does not mean you take on devils that you have not been assigned to take on. Here's the ones you have know that you're assigned to take on, the ones that have taken you on.
That's it.
You're not assigned to take it anymore. You must come to a place where you just get mad at hell. And you say, I'm not taking any more from hell. I send hell back to hell.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Someone said, well, I don't know if that's just very Christian. I don't know. Jesus approves of us acting like that. Well, do you know that Jesus said these very words in 1927? Luke, I was talking to my sister over there. Jesus said, whoever don't want to serve me, bring them here and execute them before me. Let me tell you what the word execute means. This is our sweet Jesus. Oh, sweet little turn his back on. Turn the other cheek Jesus. This is what turn the other cheek Jesus said. Execute, to slay, to slaughter, to butcher, to put to death by violence.
Yeah.
To slay, to slaughter, to butcher, to put to death by... That's what he wants you to do to them. Now, we don't fight again. Please, this is not for you to go out to your next door neighbor or your ex something or other. This is... We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. Do you understand that? Powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies, rulers of darkness in the age. Do you understand that is a hierarchy? They're set up in hierarchy. Do you know how the enemy rules? The enemy, Satan, your adversary, rules with an iron of rod. That's how he keeps peace in the ranks. Remember, he came from a house of rebellion. And coming from a house of rebellion, he has a house full of rebellion. So he has to beat his demons, if you will, in the line. That's why I like in the warrior days, where's Paula? Back in the warrior days, when we would send up praise and worship, the word came forth that we're creating a tumult. You know what a tumult is? We're creating a tumult in the heavens. That means we're creating a shaking in the heavens. We're creating a shake in the enemy. He doesn't know how to deal with praise. Are you with me? Are you listening to me? He doesn't know how to deal with praise when you start praising God. I want you to get this, and I want you to hear me well when I say this. This is the time that the church has got to stand up and say, if I'm the last one standing, I won't back down. The Bible says that I will wait until the enemies are made my footstool. Who do you think is the footstool makers? We are those. We are the footstool makers. That's why Jesus said, "The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool." And soon the God of Abraham will soon crush Satan under his feet. That means there is a time right now. And you know whose feet it is? In the Old Testament, God said, how beautiful are the feet of him who bring good news. In the New Testament, it's how great are the feet of them who bring good news. His feet now become
our feet.
Do you understand when he said, put on the armor of God? He said the whole armor of God. If you go over to Isaiah 59, God says, I looked over the earth. And I looked for someone, an intercessor, that I could show my power in. And he said, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't find any. So I stood up myself. And I put on my breastplate of righteousness. I put on my garment of vengeance. I put on my warfare. I put on my weapons of war. I put on my garments of praise. When he stands up, he can't see you. He doesn't see your armor. He sees the armor of God. Therefore, put on the armor of God. You see, there comes a time that we draw a line and say, we're not anymore. There comes a time when you must stand up and make a demand on the word of God. Either it's true or it's not true. How much defeat do you want to live in? How much misery do you want to go through? How much being broken down and being suffering from lack and suffering from disappointment, how much do you want to go through? There's got to come a place where you say, that's enough. There's a people that's saying, that's enough.
That's right.
There's a people that are standing up all over this nation, all over this world, and said, that's enough. That's enough. And they're pounding their fists on the table. And good meaning Christians want to come in and say, oh, you're getting too radical. No. No. Bring my enemies before me and slay them, execute them, butcher them, kill them by violence. I'm sick of our young people being pillaged by the weapons of this world, that they've got to act like this in order to be accepted, or wear that in order to be accepted, or be like this in order to be accepted. The Lord says, my choice handmaidens are valiant warriors. My men and women are arming themselves together like never before. Mighty, mighty, mighty winners, mighty victors in this war. Brace yourself, because there is coming an incarnation of the Spirit of God like never before in the young people, across meetings, even in distant places, those that have been washed over and those who have been pillaged, even in places like Africa and places like Kenya and places like Nigeria. The nation of Africa has been under a deluge for so long that even America now is saying, what is going on? And as we stand up, because we've said enough is enough, they're standing up all over this planet. The youth are standing up saying, not me. I will not go the way that my daddy went. I will not go the way that I will not be divorced. I will not end up on drugs. I will not go through what they went through. I will not taste prejudice. I will not taste bigotry. I will not. It's never been in my house, and I'm not going to preach nothing but Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, ascended, and ascended. My God is alive. He's not dead. He got up from the ground just like he said. He's not coming back like you think. He's already here, although he shall return in the same manner. What manner is that? The manner of the banner of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Is there any warriors in the house? Come on. Come on. Is there any praisers in the house? Come on. Is there anybody in the house that can say, I am going to take out Sisera in full battle array, that's been hiding in my house, been hiding in my tent. I'm taking my tent back, tech, and I'm driving his temple into the ground, and I'm once and for all, I'm chastising no longer, I'm baptizing no longer, I'm taking out the Adam nature that says, touch me, feel me, taste me, heal me. Come on. Can you see the real me? Can you? Come on. Come on. Come on. There's one answer. The presence of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Oh, can somebody in the house say amen? Well, I've given you my best shot. I've told you the truth and I've told you the facts.
The presence of the Lord is here.
The presence of the Lord is here to do the rest. I'm saying you don't have to take it anymore. You do not have to settle for seconds. Step up to the dinner table. You are able. You don't have to eat crumbs. Come on. Come on. Come on, Miss Carol. We're going to the King's house. Are you listening to me? Come on, somebody. We're going to the King's house. We're not eating in the pauper's house anymore. We're going to the King's table, because my God is able. Woo-hoo! Come on, somebody.